God. Thank you, Jesus, that we can believe in you. You're something to hold on to, God. You're something to trust in. You're so awesome, Father. There's a call.
Yeah. this morning, there's a lot more of you now than there were when I got up here. So that's a little scary. This morning, when I first got here and walked in, I felt really convicted. I was thinking, why do we come to church? You know, why am I here? And obviously, I've been here forever. And there, I can tell you honestly, have been quite a few years where I just came because it's what you do on Sunday. You go to church. And so if that's why you're here this morning, don't feel ashamed because I've done it. I've been there. But this morning, as I was worshiping the first song, I just kept thinking, okay, God, why am I here? Obviously, there are people here that I love, that I have great relationships with. I didn't necessarily come to see them. So why am I here this morning? And can you put up the words to the song, please? Thanks. I don't remember which verse it is, but I've come to worship, kept playing, and I'm like, that's why I'm here this morning. No matter what has happened in my week, I don't care what, you know, even what your reason for being here is. If you're here to listen to David preach or something, that's awesome, but I feel like we're all here for a purpose, even if it's not the purpose that we intended. This morning, I just knew, you know, coming to church is what I'm supposed to do today, but there's a greater purpose for you being here. We're here to worship the King of Kings. We're here to glorify the name of the Lord. And whatever your first intention of coming here today was, I am hoping that all of you will take a second and say, no matter what I really came here for, we're all here to worship the King of Kings. And so lay aside whatever it is that you've done this week, whatever has happened to you this week, how even this morning, whatever you're feeling, lay it all aside and realize that we're here to worship the King of Kings. And nothing else on this earth matters. Nothing that we do tomorrow will matter. All we're here to do is worship the King of Kings. So I just want us to sing this again and lay everything aside and really focus on that, worshiping the King of Kings today. And we're here to worship. That's what we're here on this earth to do. And in order to glorify God today, I feel like we just have to lay that all aside and do that. So I just want to encourage you guys to do that this morning.
I'm going to say some of the things along the lines of Sarah. I was not going to be here this morning. You know, my husband's in Camp Rylea. I have so much to do at home, and I worked all week, and I am just tired. And I wasn't going to come this morning, and my son asked me at 8 o'clock last night, Mama, can you take me into town? I need to go see Jaybird. We got some things to do. And I am like, really? Seriously, you're gonna make me go to town, because I live way out in Tyatton, for those of you who don't know. And so this morning, okay, I'm gonna take Joe to town, and I am gonna go back home, stop at the grocery store, pick up what I need to finish, and go home. And as I'm driving in, the Lord reminds me, He didn't just walk 2 miles away from, pass by 2 miles away from the Garden of Gethsemane and not stop and pray. He wasn't within 2 miles of Calvary and didn't go to the cross because he was tired, because he didn't feel like it. He did it for us. He even prayed, "Lord, let this cup pass from me if it's your will," but it wasn't God's will. And he still went to the cross for us. So this is why we do come, because I know what my week's going to be like if I'm in town and I'm not here. And I find an excuse to go home. My week is going to suck. I'm not going to have the time I need to do the things I do because the Lord's going to be calling to me. I needed you to be where I needed you to be. It isn't just your will anymore. It is mine too. And all I want is for you to gladly obey me. So for those of you who didn't want to be here this morning, amen. I understand. God loves us anyway. He knows that you don't want to be here. But when you praise his name in sacrifice, you give a praise and sacrifice, no matter what else is going on, he hears it and he hears you. He hears you. And he turns the volume up just like we do when we're in our car alone and we got our music cranked and we think nobody else can see us. But you know what? Praise him. No matter what, if you praise him in prayer quietly, if you lift your hands, or if you dance, just praise him. And it will set the rest of the week that you've just come through to the side, and it will open the door for a better week to come. Amen.
Last night, I've read this book like 5 times probably, It's a tale of three kings. And I read half the book, and there's two parts to the book, and the first part of the book is about King Saul and King David. And basically how King David came underneath Saul. And that is where God wanted him to be. Yet King Saul was abusive to David. He literally threw spears at David, just constantly, just throwing spears at him because he was intimidated by him. And sometimes God places us in situations to break us down. Because in our brokenness is where his strength is made perfect. When we're at the end of ourselves and we're like, man, I can't see why I'm doing this, God. I'm sure David had many times when he was hiding in the caves and he was like, I don't understand. I mean, if you read Psalms, you see the struggle. I don't get it. I don't understand. But yet God brought him to the end of himself, and that's where he was made great. Yeah, he went through a whole lot of struggles. Yeah, he had an affair and this and that and whatever. But in his weakness is where he was made strong. When he was brought to the end of himself, when he was broken down to where there was nothing left to take, is when he was made strong. And I feel like sometimes we feel like, I don't know, God, what is going on? Why am I doing this? What do you have for me to learn? I've been there, especially over the past week. I don't understand. And God's doing it for a purpose. God's doing it to reveal something greater. God's doing it to bring you to your place of priesthood, if you will, to be that king that he's called you to be over whatever he's called you to do. So I encourage you that in that time, look for what God is wanting you to learn, not just questioning why everything's going on, but look for what he's wanting you to receive from that time.
You know, there are streams and rivers in the kingdom of God. There's anointings that break specific yokes, and there's different manifestations of his presence. And a lot of times we think that a worship service is about getting through a certain requirement, whether it's a list or whether it's a time frame or whether it's a specific, you know, form that we're used to. And this is a day and an hour in the kingdom of God where it's not about form and it's not about time and it's not about structure, but it's ordered because it's ordered by the Holy Spirit. And this song was playing a little earlier this morning when they were practicing, and I could just feel the anointing on it. And, you know, it's not like the normal song that you would think, well, this is going to be the anointing song, you know, like where we're at his feet. But today, I believe for whatever reason, Holy Spirit wants us to understand why we're here, why we come together. And personal, you know, experiences aside, frustrations of the week aside, maybe even just past experiences in churches aside. See, it's not about the experience itself. It's about experiencing him. So many people, and myself included, have made this day and this time about an experience that is up to a certain standard, and then we're okay with what we've received. But the experience in itself is not what you need. You need him. We need to experience him. So I believe that there's a breakthrough for a lot of you this morning in this song. And I don't want to leave this because I really sense an anointing. And anointings are from God to break yokes. And yokes are what hold us back. Yokes are what weigh us down. Yokes are what makes our hearts sad and depressed and lonely and anxiety and frustration. And there's something that takes place in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. Because, folks, that is what's more real than this. Maybe you can look around and you see tons of people and you see, you know, the worship team and you see the words on the... And that seems to be what's real right now. But really what's real is heaven. What's real is God's kingdom right now, moving through here, looking at your heart, examining you, not in a way to judge you, in a way to say, what precious gold do I have that I can bring out of my treasure today? What glorious part of my kingdom can I raise up in my son and daughter that will bless other sons and daughters? See, we're here not for an experience, we're to experience Him. We've come to worship. And so if you're feeling Holy Spirit tug, which I know you are, as I am, I encourage you to come up around here. And just as we go through this one more time, the Lord has given me just a little prophetic song to sing. As that happens, I want you to just enter into what He wants to do in your heart today. And I believe this can be a day of change and good change, permanent change. Not just a Sunday change where you get a high and then you go home and then you got to face life again. No, where you are drawn into the very heart of the Father and you are changed from glory to glory and not the same.
I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name.
We've come to worship in spirit and truth.
Let him hear your heart today.
We've come to worship in spirit and truth.
Father, we just release right now your anointing, God, that breaks the yoke in your people. Father, I just bless your people right now with your presence. I bless them right now, Lord, with your love. I bless your people right now, Lord, with your face shining upon them. I bless your people right now with a joy that fills them, Lord, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. I bless your people right now with an understanding of the kingdom of God, with eyes wide open that see clearly your divine purposes and plan and riches of glory that you have for your people. Father, I bless your children right now with experiences of closeness to your heart. I bless your children right now with hearing your heartbeat and seeing, Lord, your eyes, the color of your eyes. I bless your children with dynamic, clear hearing right now, Lord. Able to hear your voice in the loudness of life, they can still hear your still small voice. I bless your children right now, Father. We've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We set aside every weight, every encumbrance, every hindrance, every sin that so easily besets us. And right now we fix our gaze and our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author, the one who died for us, the author of our faith, the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, the suffering, the pain, and is now seated in glory at the right hand of you, Father. And in Christ, Lord, I'm seated with him in that heavenly place right now, Father. And we receive now by faith our inheritance as sons and daughters. We receive right now by faith our place in the kingdom of God. We receive right now by faith our favor of the Father that rests upon us. Thank you, Jesus.
I've come to worship in spirit and truth. I've come to worship in spirit and truth.
Just see.
Majesty. Majesty is the King. Majesty is our Lord. I see like a tabernacle. And there's a key, a golden key, like the key of David. And that key is unlocking our hearts. Unlocking our hearts to a time of a refreshing, an anointing, an outpouring of His love. Can you feel Him now? The presence, the love, the encouragement. But we can continue standing in the glory as we begin our 90-day Bible challenge tomorrow, as we drink in and taste every word of the New Testament. From September 16th until December 14th, we can drink in the word of the Lord and let it so penetrate our beings that we know His anointing and we call Him Father God, Creator, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. So Majesty, Majesty, Majesty is our Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
presence. May we never take it for granted. May we never sell it short. May we always have thanksgiving in our hearts when we come to you, Lord. No matter what our circumstances and situations look like. Help us look beyond the pain and suffering, God, for the joy that's set before us. Help us despise the shame, the ridicule, the torment of life, to enter into your fullness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you're all seated, but why don't you take a moment and greet each other? Give them a hug. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Release some of that glory that's inside of you. Well, would the children please come on up? This is the time our kids go down to Sunday school. They get to receive some more teaching. How are you guys doing this morning? Boy, there's a lot of girls. You guys are outnumbered today. Praise the Lord. Now, do you guys all know, look at me for a second, do you guys all know that you right now, at the age you're at the place you're at in life, can be used by the Lord? You don't have to wait till you grow up. You guys hear that a lot from me, don't you? How many of you believe it? A few of you? Well, just know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And the same works that he did, that's heal the sick, raise the dead, he said, even greater works than those you're going to do. You're saying, well, Pastor, I'm just 5 or I'm just 8. Does not matter your age. All you have to do is know him. And I believe you guys know him. So start walking in who you are. Start becoming now who God's called you to be. Don't wait till you're my age. Please don't wait till you're my age. Don't wait till you're your big brother's age or your big sister's age. Now is the time for the Lord to use you. You guys are amazing. If you could see what is inside of you, boy, you'd be blown away. Because the potential of heaven exists in each of you. Father, we bless your children right now. They're your children, God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, some time with them, Lord. And we pray, God, that today they would receive, Lord, a greater measure, Lord, of who they are in you and who you are, Lord, as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that they would just be, Lord, activated into who they are now, God, and that it would catapult them, Lord, into their destiny. We bless them now. In Jesus' mighty name, you guys said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, this is an exciting day. Exciting because you're here, of course. Exciting because the Lord's here. But it was about 3 years ago, last month, that a young man came through the doors, and he was looking for the truth. And praise God, he found the truth. He found truth in the Lord Jesus Christ and brought him to a place of full abandonment, to the place where he left his old life behind. And it cost him actual money because of his saying, nope, I'm not going to follow that way anymore. And I've seen him over the past 3 years literally be transformed into someone that the Lord can use. And you know what? He is an example of the believers of this day. If you just say, you know what, Lord, whatever your will is, however you want to use me, even if I'm afraid, I'm willing to step out. And because of that, David Martinez has grown into a young man of God that is not only, you know, someone that I pastor, but is also a friend. So without further ado, David, please come up and share from your heart what the Lord's given you today. Praise the Lord. Can I pray for you? I love doing that. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for my brother. God, I thank you for his heart. Lord, I thank you, God, that he is willing, Lord, to lay down, Lord, his own agenda and take up the cross that you've given him and follow you. We just pray a blessing upon him right now. Lord, let his words, Lord, be spoken as if they're coming directly from heaven, because I believe they will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Now I'm going to bring it down. Can I get some help, please? I hurt my back.
Good morning.
Okay. So when I'm just going to start from the beginning of how this came about to be. Am I doing something wrong? A few weeks ago, Pastor Mike shared with me that he felt on his heart that, he was to rise up people in the church to speak and to take, you know, to be used by the Lord to bring people to another level. And when he shared with me that I was on his heart to share, I was like, oh, Lord, you're doing something big here, and, you know, taking me a little bit out of my comfort zone, because, I mean, I do decent speaking in front of people, but bringing a message to a church is, I take as an honor and a big responsibility. So I was very humbled when he asked me, and it kind of came as no surprise that the past few months I've been thinking about where I came from, what my life was like before getting to know Jesus. Not just coming to church, but knowing Jesus. That was the big, big difference as far as the direction that my life was going. So as Pastor Mike asked me, I was like, well, yeah, you know, I'm not going to fight against the Lord's will. You know, if Pastor Mike has felt it on his heart, I trust him, I trust the Lord, and here I am getting to share with you guys today. And as I was praying about what I'm going to share about, the Lord kept putting on my heart grace. And I was just thinking, wow, grace. I mean, I could stand up here and share my life story with you guys, and you would see grace, because I would not be here in my own strength. Like, I came from... a life of self-satisfaction. I was chasing after what I wanted. I was priority in my life. I wanted, you know, to make more money, so I did whatever I felt I could do, whatever opportunity was in front of me, I did. And it led to some very not proud moments in my life. And as Pastor Mike said, it did cost me money. Money in a flame of fire. And that was the day, it was December 5th in 2010, when I decided that, you know, Lord, I'm going to give it all to you. I started coming to church, and you think December 5th, 2010, 3 years ago was September, August when I started coming. Well, I came to church, and I was hungry for Jesus in my life. I knew there was a void that I needed filled. But I decided to come anyways, even though I was still up to no good for September, October, November, December. The Lord changed my heart. And with grace is something that we can't earn. We can't earn grace. Grace is something we receive. And it's by receiving His grace that I was drawn towards giving more of my heart to Him, giving more of my life to Jesus. And that, I believe, has changed my life night and day, from the dark into the light. I mean, our salvation, it's not just for us to get to heaven. I mean, our salvation is for a relationship. Jesus paid the price that enabled us to become holy in the eyes of God. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, I know we don't always live holy, but it's Jesus inside of us that enables us to be clean and pure to the Lord. And, I mean, we now get the privilege of being used by God and receiving His promises, receiving His grace and His love. And one thing that was crazy, this week I had the chance to make a couple drives down to the valley, and that was, driving has always been a very intimate time for me with God. My life gets crazy, it gets, you know, it gets busy, sometimes not the best with time management. So when I get a chance to get into my car, I really get to just hear from the Lord and spend time with Him and just have my peace with Him. And it was crazy because John 3:16 was a message that came to my heart. And I was like, John 3:16, that's something that we, you know, we've all heard at one time or another. You know, yeah, it's about love, you know. The scripture is, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yeah, He loves us. You know, He loves us so much that if we believe, we have everlasting life. But that, this week, it was just like a big hammer just nailed grace out of this, like up from this message. And I mean, just the grace that He gives us to just believe. He doesn't say, believe and go do this checklist and you'll have everlasting life. It's just believing. It's that grace that gives us everything so freely. We don't have to go out and, oh, I'm going to go, I don't know, I've got to pray for 10 people. I've got to bless 5 people. I've got to sell everything I have. And then I have to, give away whatever else I can. It's just receiving His love that's so free, that doesn't cost us anything. And it's by receiving His grace. That's something that I felt really strong was, it's the Lord's grace that enables us to really receive His love. So we all feel His love, and say if we don't recognize His grace in our lives, we're kind of feeling like, oh, He loves us, but, you know, I can't pray for Tyson because, you know, I just did whatever, you know, yesterday. God loves me, but I don't have grace to to be whole, to be used to pray for somebody. So an analogy came to my mind that it was kind of cool. And I don't want the values to get confused between one analogy to the next. But say, for example, I borrow $10,000 from Glenn. And I'm going to pay him in a couple months. So I come to Glenn in a couple months from now. I'm like, David, I don't really have the money. I can't pay you. Sorry, $10,000, to anybody, that's a large amount of money that makes a difference in, you know, how someone feels. So say, for example, two weeks later, I see Glenn in the grocery store, and I duck and I dodge into an aisle that I have no business in just because I want to get away from Glenn. Then, you know, a few months later, Glenn calls, like, hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. You guys want to come over for dinner? We want to hang out. He's going to ask me for that money. No, we're busy that night. And then all of a sudden, just one day, Pastor Mike comes through and, you know, he pays Glenn my debt. He hears about my debt and how it's affecting our relationship. Pastor Mike pays the debt to Glenn, but it's not just $10,000 he pays him. Say he pays him $1 million. How much more is my debt paid off to Glenn by Pastor Mike? That's like $990,000 that Glenn just got because I was in debt to him. Now, I don't know that Glenn has been paid off, so he's calling me, he's like, hey, you know, just trying to call, trying to text, and I ignore him, I don't pay attention, I just want nothing to do with Glenn because it's, you know, 6 months later and I don't have his money. And then finally, Pastor Mike comes up to me and tells me, he's like, hey, guess what, David, I heard you owed Glenn $10,000. I haven't been able to catch up to you, but I paid him $1 million. I paid that debt for you, so you get to have, you know, you get that debt off your back. I'm just like, wow. So I get to go see Glenn. I get to hang out with Glenn again. You know, we get to get together for dinner, and I get the clean conscience that my debt is paid in excess, in huge excess. So I'm like, oh, hey, you know, happy that everything is done for. And we can look at that and see the story of Jesus in our lives and the grace that we get now. God invites us to have a relationship with him. And it's by the grace and by the salvation that Jesus offered us that we get to have that. We don't have to run around and hide from God. God, I can't be used by you. God, you're so perfect. I just did, you know, whatever. I just got mad. I just, you know, cussed, whatever, you know, and just having those convictions in our heart and not completely realizing that God's grace isn't cheap. We can't wear God's grace out because I called somebody a name, you know? It's his grace is so much bigger than everything that we could ever think of doing. And that doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense that we get to have a relationship with God, even though maybe there are some areas of our lives that aren't clean. And right now that just kind of brings to mind that what happened if 3 years ago in, say, October, I came to church and I was thinking, man, I'm still running around doing all this bad stuff. What am I even doing in church? I got to get away from here. I can't do this. Who am I kidding? You know, I'm not accepted by God. He doesn't love me. I'm just doing all this bad stuff. But, you know, God doesn't see all of that. He sees our hearts. He sees the desire to have a relationship with us. That overpowers everything that we could do. And without receiving grace as a foundation, like, our foundation is so important because a storm comes and what happens? If it's not strong, it falls over. If we have a strong foundation, we can withstand a storm. And grace is such an important material in that foundation. If we look at it physically, just think of a foundation without grace. Without that grace, we can't receive his love. How can we feel worthy to receive his love. Oh, I know he loves me, but no, there's no buts. Receiving his grace is receiving his grace, and we can walk into all the promises that he has for us. And it's grace is, as I was just listening and waiting and hearing the Lord speak to me, it's like he just reminded me, it's like, hey, it's like the like those closest to us. It's so easy to take those closest to us for granted. You know, spouses, parents, brothers and sisters, close friends, you know, all, you know, it's, yeah, they're there. But, and that's the same type of thing that it's so easy to take grace as. Grace is not something that should be overlooked. And when we decide to do that, what are we doing with the work that Jesus did on the cross? I mean, that message is something that has just really spoken volumes into me over this past few days, and it's just been kind of like one of those wow moments that that was just revealed, and my eyes were just completely opened. And, you know, before I go any farther, I want to pray for each and every one of us. So, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Father God. Lord, I pray that all of our hearts, Lord, all of our hearts can be open, Lord, that this word and this message will just fly right past our brains, Lord, and right into our hearts. Lord, that as we have the conditional mind, Lord, you are unconditional. Father, I pray that our spirits can receive that, Lord, that our hearts can just come to get revelation from you, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that your blood has covered everything, Lord. Your blood enables us to have love and mercy and grace in our lives. So, Lord, I just pray that as words are spoken today, Lord, that they are yours. And, Lord, that they fall on open hearts. And, Lord, that our brains, our conditional minds can be set aside to receive from you, Father. In Jesus' name. One thing, we're very conditional as humans, as people. You know, one thing that I tend to do is like, oh, I do this and I do that. So, you know, man, there's a hard time. Oh, it's because I did, you know, whatever. Well, living your life for Jesus was never promised to be easy. You know, the Bible actually tells us in John 16, 33, that I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me here on earth. You will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. A lot of times it's so easy for us to come into it, to come across a trial and to come across the sorrow, like, and see, God, where are you? We become, you know, beggars. We become, God, please, no, no, no. Yes, yes, it's good to pray, but we have authority from Jesus. Jesus died so he can live inside of us. We have his spirit. We have the ability to speak in authority, but how can we feel we are able to if we don't receive his grace? If we don't feel worthy to pray over something, what are we missing? We're missing the grace that he gives us. It's unconditional. It's more than we could ever ask for, and it covers everything. Like, that was one thing that was, I mean, I thought, well, I've been in that position where I'm like, hey, God, please, you know, if it's your will, can you do this for me? Because I'm really having a hard time, and I want it to be your will, please. Well, when Jesus prayed and healed anybody, there was, he didn't ask, God, if it's your will, please do this. He spoke in authority over any situation. And as we continue to grow in our relationship with God, we can continue to be more and more like him and have that authority and be able to to use that authority for the kingdom, to glorify his name. And it may, there may be things that you think, oh, I can't pray for. This seems crazy. Like last night, Tanya forgot her phone. She thought she left it at Applebee's. And this is one of those, oh, this is crazy. I'm not going to pray about this. This is weird, you know? I'm going to go to Applebee's and we're going to see if we can find her phone. Well, because when we left our house, I thought, I remember 100%. I would have put money on it that Tanya was playing on her phone, little Candy Crush, as I was trying to get navigation somewhere. And I remember because I thought, well, I'm going to ask her. And then I saw her playing and I was like, well, I'll just do it. And so we carry on with our day. We wind up going to dinner with my parents. And then we go to prayer. Well, when we got to prayer, Tanya realized her phone's missing. I'm like, well. And she's like, well, let's just go to, you know, Applebee's afterwards. And can you check the car? So I checked the car, and then I called it, and hoping if somebody took it, they'll answer and maybe give it back. Nothing. So we, you know, we're in prayer. We go down to Applebee's, and I mean, we're not really taking no for an answer because people are sitting in the chairs in the booth that we're sitting in, and the waitress and the hostess were like, well, we can't go ask them to get up to check for this phone. Like, well, can you please just go? Like, we're not moving. We're basically saying, go check and see if this phone is in this booth. So the girl goes, and we just sit down. We're like, well, we're just going to wait. Well, I see people at the table behind us get up, and I'm like, well, no, you didn't check the right table. I saw the people back there, you know, get up. Can you check this other table? She's like, well, I checked that one too. So anyways, long story short, we're driving home. Tanya's like, well, we're walking out. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's just pray that your phone's at home. You know, what can we do? She checked, you know, and so we drove home, and I was just praying, Lord, just please let her phone be at home. And we got home, and the first thing I do is I walk in, and I look on the sofa, and there's like a blanket on there, and her phone's right underneath the blanket. And I would have put money on her playing on her phone when we left the house, because I remember wanting directions to where we were going and not asking. So it's things, it's that grace. He cares about all these little things, even about a cell phone, you know? So now she can play Candy Crush all she wants. So, but I mean, it's these types of things that he takes joy in, and he gives us the grace to be able to pray over. And nothing is too small or too big. It's a matter of where our faith is. How much grace have we received? You know, if have we only received enough for salvation? Have we just received enough to get into heaven? Or have we, you know, received enough to walk with Jesus all the time? Have you received enough grace to hold him to his promises? You know, and that's really what our relationship is for. It's not just to go to heaven. You know? Thank you for the water, Barb. It's a really good idea. And then, you know, we can often look at the favor in our lives. We each have a different measure of favor. And, you know, we can look at it and be like, oh, well, this person is so blessed because they have this, this, and that. This person, oh, I don't get to do whatever because, you know, this is what I was given. Well, I don't believe that. If we are good stewards with our favor, by grace, that can be increased. Just like anything. And when we're good stewards with fill in the blank, that can be increased. In Matthew 25:29 tells us, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But those who do nothing, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. So if we want grace, we want grace. Oh, you know, man, I didn't pray for this person. I felt like it. I'm not going to pray for anybody until I have another experience with God. You know, it's by stepping out of our comfort zone is where we grow. And I mean, I'm so guilty of that. There's times where I'm feeling, oh, I need to go pray for somebody, but you know, I'm in a hurry. They're gonna think something of me. They might laugh. They might wonder what I'm talking about. But it's by stewarding those callings, those pushings, is where we get more. If we really want to be used by God, we really want His promises that He's called us for, and if we really want to live a plan that God has for us in our lives, we're going to wind up having to come out of our comfort zones, because that's when we grow. If we're going to stay the same and not do anything different, we're going to remain the same. So we have to take those steps of faith and receive His grace to believe that we're worthy enough, because His grace isn't cheap. The blood of Jesus, God knows us. He's our creator. He knows us. He knows what we did. He knows what we're going to do. The only one that's perfect is Jesus. And if we have those expectations of ourselves living perfect, we're going to be in the condemnation and be held by chains for everything we do, every day, you know? So we can't let these struggles dictate our relationship with God. We can't let them tell us how we're going to be used and how we're not going to be used. We can't say that, I can't go speak up here, because I thought that was kind of crazy. I was like, man, I'm going to speak to people, like the whole church. Like, that's nuts. You know, who am I? But, you know, it's what the Lord has called you for. And it's for all of us. You know, it's the grace that we're given to not have to go through all this schooling and, you know, diplomas and, oh, I got a doctorate in this and theology and all that stuff. It's a relationship with God. It's from the Bible that we need to get our education from. I mean, yes, is there importance? And yeah, you'll learn things from school, but who's the almighty teacher? You know, I felt so unqualified to be speaking to a church on a Sunday because I don't have a diploma. I've, you know, don't spend as much time in my word as I would like to, because I don't want to live under a law and say, oh, I need to read all this and that. You know, it's a desire to read. It's a desire to get to know God. It's not a law. Moses, in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came so that we can have grace. Are we going to ignore and avoid the work that He did because we think what we did is a heavier weight than Jesus' salvation, than His blood? No, His blood covers everything. We are saved, not kind of, but completely. And you know, by His grace is something, the characteristics of Jesus are in each and every one of us. It's just a matter of how much and how close to Jesus we are. How much do we know Him? How much do we want to truly be the example of Him in this earth? So as I was taking notes of, like, all week I've been recording stuff on my phone. It's like as I was driving and just throughout my day, you know, the Lord just dropped revelations on me, and I was just like, well, what am I going to do with it? For the past few weeks, He's been giving me these things, and I wasn't a good steward with it, because I was like, oh, I'll remember. That was so good. I'm going to remember. I depended on myself for that, and my memory failed. So after a couple of weeks of, you know, getting such good revelation, I was just like, Lord, come on. I don't remember anything. You gave me such good stuff. I can't even think of anything to say like that. Well, he also gave me the cell phone that I get to record stuff into, and I'll get to remember what he gave me. So all week I've been recording little, you know, revelations in my cell phone, And so last night I was listening to him and I was just like, wow, whoa, this is, holy cow, this is great. And I wound up with this whole long list of notes and I'm like, man, Lord, I don't have this much time. I don't want to sit and like just read what I have and I don't want to keep everybody till dinner time. But, you know, this is one part that I just have to, I mean, that was laid on my heart that I just have to just read. It says, we are made in his image. Yes. So we are also called to be examples of Jesus on this earth too. And we get to be a temple for him to live in. So do you think God would call us to be examples of Jesus without giving us the needed characteristics? And just as God's love and mercy can and should be evident in our lives, so should his grace. So, I mean, these characteristics are in us. And, I mean, I know it's sometimes so hard to love others. We can accept them. They're different. Yeah, you know, this person said this. I'm just going to ignore them. Okay, and that's how our relationship is going to be, is to ignore. But we were called to do something different. Something that we're not going to be comfortable with, something we're not going to like. And Jesus gave us a commandment to love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, that speaks to me just as much as I'm sure it speaks to everybody else. There are relationships in our lives where we have the understanding of just ignoring. We have the understanding, oh, okay, you know, this person is really harsh to me. I don't like them. We just don't get along. They're annoying. You know, whatever. But we're called to love, and God put that inside of each and every one of us. How much of that are we willing to let out? And one thing that I've really noticed is those characteristics are so much easier to come out when we spend time with him. There are times where I'm just like, boom, all about chasing after the heart of Jesus, chasing after the heart of God. And I come across people like, oh, they say something dumb to me. I'm like, oh, hey, whatever, it's cool. Give me a hug. And, you know, there's other times where I'm just like not, you know, I'm too busy. I got to do things. I forget. I want to, but I don't, and all that. And, you know, somebody can come up and do the same thing. I'm just like, get away from me. Like, I don't want to just leave me alone. I'm going to ignore you. I'm not going to pay attention to you. And listening to his drawing not only draws us to him, but him out of us. And getting to share that grace and getting to share that love with others is so important, because how are we representing Jesus? If we're the example of him on this earth, how are we how are we drawing others towards, you know, our Father? It's crazy, because it's so easy to get caught up with ourselves. And every day we have a lot of opportunities to let that grace come out of us. In traffic, with our spouses, with our family, with our friends. Every situation, there's a second to decide which path am I going to take. And I know sometimes there's less than a second depending on the situation, because I used to have kind of an anger problem. I used to, you know, hear one thing I didn't like and boom, there goes this David. And then at that time there was not even a second. But there's always a moment in time, regardless of how big or small that moment is, we can choose to pull out of that grace that God has given us, or we can choose to pull out of our own ability. And that is how we can have the example shown through us by giving that grace and pulling out of the right bucket. His stuff is way overflowing. His characteristics are overflowing out of our bucket, where ours may be, you know, I've only got this much grace today, and I used it about a half an hour ago, so here you go. So, I mean, the big thing is what are we choosing to do with the grace that is given to us? Are we choosing to use his grace, or are we choosing to use ours? Because ours will fail us. Ours will put our relationships into a bad place, to a bad spot. And not only with each other, but with God. If we don't use his grace, how he's given it, if we don't steward his grace properly, we're going to feel so unworthy. We're going to feel like, a sinner is saved by grace rather than a grace-filled believer that doesn't have to sin, right? So, I mean, it's just a matter of how we look at it and what we believe. So, I mean, if we're going to use his grace to just get us to heaven, there's so much more for us. There is so much more for us. You could live a life where, you know, somebody doesn't have to offend you. You don't have to think about how they treated you, because you know who your Father is. You know who your Creator is. You know you have so much more to live for than that offense. So, I mean, that's what the message of grace for me was, and just being able to be outside of ourselves is what we need. If we rely on ourselves, we're going to sell ourselves short. God has so much more for us in store that it's sad that we think his grace is cheap, that we aren't worthy, because it's not. It's overflowing, and he wants us to receive it. We can't work for it. We don't have to work for it. He doesn't want us to work for it. We just need to open our hearts and believe that it's for all of us, regardless of what we've done, where we've been, who we've hurt, or what we've said. His grace is sufficient, and he wants us to receive his love unconditionally, way outside of our conditional minds. So, with that, I'm not sure. I've been really feeling the Lord lay on my heart this week that if there's anybody in here that hasn't experienced the grace of God, experienced his love, maybe we want more grace. We want more of his grace. We want more of his grace to come out of us. We can just ask, and he's going to be more than happy to give us. We just need to push ourselves aside and let God run. You know, pick up our cross every day, even in those hard times. So, Lord, I lift up each and every one of us, Lord, that our hearts can receive your grace, Father. Lord, that we can feel your grace just bubbling in us, ready to explode out of us, Lord. Lord, that our lights will just shine, the light that you have implanted in us, Lord. Lord, and I just thank you for everybody that got revelation from you, Father God. Lord, that anybody that may struggle with grace, Lord, that may want more, or anybody that doesn't know your grace, Father, will just get an extra portion of you, Lord, or the portion they have just be stirred up so they feel it and recognize, Father God. Lord, I'd invite anybody that doesn't know the Lord, that isn't sure of where their salvation may be, you know, just ask Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I thank you that you have hung on that cross for my sins, Lord, for all of our sins. Lord, that your resurrecting power, Lord, raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, that you have taken victory over every situation in this world that we can look at. And I thank you that you have chosen to put that into each and every one of us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we just be stirred up so much, Lord, that we receive your grace unconditionally and are ready and willing and able to step out, Lord, out of our comfort zones, out of our own buckets, Lord, and swim in yours. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be changed from your words, Lord. I thank you for using me, but I pray that your words will be what changes our hearts, Lord, because that will be permanent, Lord. I thank you that you draw us near to you, Lord, and I pray that each and every one of us, Father God, will feel your drawing. And as you draw us near to you, I pray that you will come out of us, Lord, just that we can radiate your light and your characteristics, Father. So I just thank you. Thank you for each and every heart being open today, Lord. I thank you for this message that you have given me, that you have given us, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that your grace isn't cheap, Lord. Neither is your love. That you make every one of us worthy to receive, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that we can put our conditional minds aside, Lord, and put our faith in you. Childlike faith. So, Lord, I thank you. I pray this will be a heart-changing moment by your grace alone, Lord. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's grace lived out in front of you right there. And maybe God's grace isn't calling you at this time to come and stand before us all and share the message. But the same empowerment for that is empowering you to do something tomorrow or even this afternoon. And maybe it's pray for someone or share that God loves someone, or just maybe it's just to be Christ to someone without saying anything, just living it. So I want to encourage you to let grace have its full, complete work in you. And all you have to do is give up. That's the tough part, is giving up. We are the sacrifice that is living. And that means we can get up off the altar and walk away and stop the work of the Lord. But I believe better things for you, that you won't be getting up off that altar. You're going to let the full, complete work of grace be finished in you. We're going to have some folks up here that are going to be willing, ready, and able
fully with the kingdom of God inside of them. Pray for any of your needs, whether physical, emotional. So God bless you all. We love you. You have a great day.